If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the magnificent Monday edition of The Yard. We've already met with Coach Jeff Lebby today. It's game week, kids. You made it. You did. And it felt so surreal. We did it in the team meeting room today. We've never done it there. Like in recent years, we've done it in the post-game media room at Davis Wade, even on Mondays. Prior to that, we used to have a media room in Seal. That's now been converted into something else now. You know, it always happens. But, we had a chance to sit, visit with Jeff Lebby. And, of course, the depth chart is making the rounds. And it appears this year that the depth chart might actually mean something. You said, but Steve, it always does. No, it doesn't, because you guys historically have not gotten the actual two deep chart. A couple years ago, Mike Leach trolled you all and some of our some of our media members and had Jordan Jernigan at first team running back over Woody Marks and Dylan Johnson. You know, that was just Mike's way of having a little fun with y'all. And of course, people went and wrote articles about it, made a big deal about it, and part of it. When Dan Mullen was here, Bill Martin, the head of Mississippi State Media Relations and the associate AD for football, he made the depth chart out. And so it appears now with Jeff Lebby, and Jeff may decide in a year or two, it's like, yeah, I don't know much it matters. But this depth chart that we got today appears to matter. And I think it's going to mirror what you're going to see on the field come Saturday. And so, of course, there's some names missing. We're going to address some of that in our first big segment. There's some other names out there that are going to play this weekend. And people freak out, right? It's like, well, he didn't make the depth chart. Is he still on the team? He's a freshman, man. Pump the brakes. Take a chill pill, man. It's all going to be okay. It's a depth chart. I don't know how much the depth chart really matters. It just kind of gives people something to write about and people something to freak out about. But all that I understood, we've got one. And after talking to a few people, I think we can feel good and say, hey, this is where we are. It also appears that Jeff Lebby is going to be a little more forthcoming with injuries. Maybe he's not going to detail them out, but if a guy is not expected to play, it appears, at least in 1 week, that he is going to tell you guys the truth about that. It's like, hey, don't expect him to play this week. And that's kind of the end of it. So we're going to break all that down. We're going to talk about some other things that happened today. It's all football all the time on this show today, other than our top 10 list, which is a super cool one. Always is. Hope you guys had a great weekend. I did. Wrote some cool stuff yesterday, too. Like, I have a lot of fun writing. It's a good thing, right? Like the old expression, you know, the man that finds a job that he loves never works a day in his life. That's me. Some days it feels like work, but maybe 5 or 6 a year. I mean, I get to cover college sports for a living. For crying out loud, what am I angry about, right? I've shared that with you guys so many times before. Got a great wife, got a great kid, got a great life, got a great family, got 2 great grandkids, 4 great kids. I said a great kid, but I mean 4. I have 4 great kids. And, man, I've been clean and sober, man, almost 12,000 consecutive days. What do I have to be ungrateful about? And sometimes when I'm a little bit down in the dumps, because, listen, I can, if I want to feel sorry for myself, I can. I can find something. There's always something, right? Somebody says something on the internet that hurt my feelings, you know? I can sit around and think about that all day and dwell on that and think, what did this person like me? You know, here's the thing about that I've learned is that outside of maybe Mother Teresa, you know, everybody's got a hater, right? Everybody's got somebody that doesn't like them for no good reason at all. So, and that's the thing. Somebody shared with me recently, I saw this and shared it with a friend who's kind of going through some things right now. It says, there are some people that are going to love you no matter what you do. And there are some people that are going to hate you no matter what you do. So go where the love is, right? That's a tough thing to do, though, right? Because we all want to be accepted. We all want the approval of everybody, even though we know it's not true. You know, we don't want people to think negative things about us. There's a lot of jealous people in the world, man. A lot of jealous people, for sure. Timex Social Club taught us back in the 80s that, you know, how do rumors get started? They're started by the jealous people. Because they get mad seeing something they had that somebody else is holding. Yeah. I think I'll write my congressman, tell him to pass a bill the next time they catch somebody starting rumors, shoot to kill. Yeah. You know the song. But there is a sentiment behind that that rings true all these years later. And it's so crazy how the human mind works, right? Like, you can go out there and you can post something and like 99 people can tell you, oh, this is great. And one person's like, I think it sucks. And rather than focus on the 99, what do? We obsess about that number one. It's like, oh man, I really want this person to like me. But maybe they do. Maybe they just want attention. There's a lot of people that do that. They'll just go post something on social media just to get attention, to get a reaction from people. You know, that's how they get engagement. Makes them feel like they matter. And so I just encourage you, go to where the love is. How about that? You can find plenty of love at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. I love them. They love me. They love you too. And I love you too. I want you to have a great meal. I want you to have a great time with friends or family or work colleagues. Anytime that you need to go put your feet under a table and have a great quality meal, choose Bulldog Burger Company. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Rich and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. Get that great restaurant quality hamburger. Find your own favorites. If you don't have a favorite yet, let's start with the Bulldog Burger. That's just kind of a traditional straight ahead rock and roll hamburger. And then maybe on trip two, we change it up a little bit. I went Friday, I guess it was. Went Friday, took Ian and his sister Mia, who is eagerly awaiting her LSAT score on Wednesday. Took them to Bulldog Burger Company. That's where Ian wanted to go. He's like, hey, you want to get together for my birthday? I said, well, we're already going to the movies, right? I don't know how much of it I can take, right? No, seriously. He goes, hey, I'd like to go to lunch with you, and I'll invite Mia. I said, let's do it. So we went, and I had the BLT salad grilled. You may like it fried, I like it grilled. We also had, we didn't get spring rolls because everybody was looking great. So we got the pretzel bites and the fried pickles. And I'm a fried pickles guy too. Like, some places you go, like the breading is too much and it comes off a little greasy. Not at Bulldog Burger Company. So maybe when your beauty care regimen is up to date, maybe you change it up a little bit and get those fried pickles. You'll be glad you did. You will. And get that chocolate shake to go. That's the one thing I forgot to do. I was in a hurry to get out of there because I had to get some things done. I forgot to get my chocolate shake to go. But it was still a very fulfilling experience. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay, let's run through this depth chart. And I'm not just going to sit here and read it to you. I'm going to provide some insight as well. It's always important. All right, your left tackle, your starting left tackle is former Memphis Tiger Mekalen Pounders. Mekalen Pounders last year graded out as one of the top offensive tackles in all of college football. Should have been a Mississippi State Bulldog. The story's well documented. Ole Miss and them wanted to play some PR shell games and that kind of stuff. And at the kid's expense, he ends up going to Memphis, goes in the portal, and really said once Mississippi State offered, he had no decision to make. He said the whole time he was at Memphis, he did his best to enjoy it. He realized he'd made a mistake by not following through with Mississippi State. And now he's back. It's never too late to write a happy ending. So McKaywin's going to be your starting left tackle. Now, backing him up, a couple of true freshmen, Luke Work and Jimothy Lewis. think there's a good chance you'll see those guys play this weekend against an FCS opponent. I mean, I do. You know, you get four games to play them and preserve the red shirt, and this is a good time to do it. I know it's game one. You want to kind of get the cohesion down. You want guys playing a lot of reps together as a unit, especially up front. But I think in that fourth quarter, you're going to see some of these young guys play. Left guard transfer, Jacoby Jackson. And his reserve, Malik Ellis, who played tight end last year. Right, we expected him to be a tackle, trimmed up a little bit. Now he's bulked back up. But Jacoby Jackson, of course, arrives to us from Texas Tech. One of the only guys in the recruiting cycle last year on the transfer portal side that took all of his visits and then decided. Because typically what happens on the football side, not so much like the baseball side, but on the football side, if they don't commit on the visit, they generally commit somewhere else. But Jacoby, give him credit, I guess he probably knew he had some juice too, right? A lot of those kids think, man, I better jump on this to make sure I have something. But Jacoby's like, no, I'm going to take all these visits and then take a couple days, exactly what he did, and he's here. Now he's your starting left guard. Really like him too. Center Ethan Miner, also a transfer, second-rated center in the country last year, according to Pro Football Focus. He's backed up by reserve Cannon Boone, a former recruit out of Texas that flipped from Virginia Tech to Mississippi State. On signing day for Mason Miller, Ethan Miner, of course, you've heard him mentioned a lot. Not the biggest or tallest guy, but a wide-body, square-type guy that's played a lot of football. I expect him to be really good. To his right, another transfer, Martin Martinez. Out of LSU, played some, didn't play a ton. He was a highly recruited guy, never really got an opportunity to be a starter at LSU. Now he's here. Hopefully that works out well for us. He's backed up by veteran Grant Jackson, also a senior. A guy that's primarily been a special teams guy. Expect to see him play this weekend too. And your right tackle, Albert Reese. If you're ever going to like sketch out a creative player on the college level, it'd probably look like Albert Reese. He's backed up by Leon Bell and then redshirt freshman Amani Smith. And so you start working through here and you begin to realize, you know, our first team group, four out of five guys are transfers. And then there's Albert Reese, who's been with us for a while. But even when you work along the back side of there, outside of left tackle, you got some guys that got some snaps under their belt, maybe not a ton, but it's not a new process for them. I think that group's going to be really good. Jeff Levy, again, mentioned today how pleased he was with the offensive line. Now, of course, according to some of these fake insiders on message boards and things like that, according to their sources, offensive line wasn't any good. You know, that's typically what happens. You know, there's a vacuum out there, so people try to fill that vacuum, and nobody ever holds them accountable. I guarantee you right now, some of you know exactly who I'm talking about, and you will not go over there. You will not go over there, and you won't ask him, hey, what's the deal with this? That's 3 weekends in a row, or 3 weeks in a row that Jeff Levy has praised the offensive line as perhaps the best personnel group we have. So somebody needs to let Jeff Levy know that this nameless, faceless insider on the message board said the offensive line wasn't any good. Been getting away with it for years, and people are stupid enough to fall for it. Nevertheless, quarterback position, no surprise here, it's Blake Shapen, and then it's Chris Parson or Michael Van Buren Jr. Listen, we expect Blake to take the lion's share of the snaps all year. Probably would behoove us to get both of these younger guys some reps. Maybe the game will afford that to get some separation within the ball game in the second half, give those guys a couple drives. It'd be great. I'd love the fact that if maybe Blake Shapen didn't play beyond the first drive of the third quarter. Wouldn't that be amazing? Just put the game away at the half and then give Blake maybe one series in the second half and then, you know, let the young guys get in there and play a little bit, get some tape. Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. And hopefully, again, hopefully, the game will afford that. Now, a bit of a surprise here in the running back room. A couple of surprises. Kevon Lee, RB1. I don't think most people expected that. I think a lot of people thought, well, you know, it's probably going to be, you know, Jeffrey Pittman or Davin Booth. Now, Davin Booth is listed as an or, so the first snap could go to either one of those guys. But the reality of it is Kevon Lee is a guy that is worthy of our discussion here today. This is a guy transferred in from Penn State, expected to be a depth piece, expected to kind of pick up Dylan Johnson's role in year one. He did not. Last year, he was banged up a little bit. I think he played in 8 games out of 12. And now, all of a sudden, you look up, he's getting praise from the coaching staff. And here he is listed first on the depth chart. And you can say he and Booth are 1A and 1B. Well, it's okay, cool. But Kevon Lee's name's listed first. And you can't say it's alphabetical because Booth begins with B, which is the second letter in our English alphabet. So I'm eager to see what Kevon Lee can do. As Lebby described him, he is a 6'8" guy, runs for 6, falls forward for 2 to give you a gain of 8. We need a big physical runner. Booth and he are very different players. Johnny Daniels, third on the depth chart. The name that's missing, obviously, is Jeffrey Pittman. I'm going to speak more about him later in the show to give you some more intel, some things that I've learned since our presser with Jeff Lebby. But as of now, he is not with the team. As of now, Jeffrey Pittman is not with the team and will not suit up this weekend. Tight ends, and we're going to talk about them a little bit later. It's going to be our personnel group we discuss. And everybody talks about Sadu Treor, and Justin Ball mentioned extensively today by Coach Jeff Lebby. Said the guys going to have expecting a big year out of him. I like this tight end room. I think you guys are going to like him too. And in this offense, they utilize the tight end position a lot. You talk about last year, hey, we're bringing in a tight end, so we got to rebuild the room. Well, what did we do? Well, we took an X receiver, Antonio Harmon. We bulk him up, slot him to tight end. We take Malik Ellis to tackle. We trim him up, move him to tight end. We take a defensive lineman, move him to tight end. He's now a Marshall. And so it's like, again, the farther we get away from last year, the more you can realize a lot of mistakes were made. And I don't just mean on the field. So Jeff Lebby comes in, and, hey, we have to revitalize this tight end room. Well, we already had Sadu. He was already here. He was sitting out a year. You go get the Ball brothers, and you add two guys in there, one from Vandy, one from Buffalo, that really look the part. One's a senior, one's a sophomore. And then Nick Lauderdale will probably serve more as an attached tight end. Probably we go with an unbalanced line and we're going to run behind some people. You'd probably put him in there. I'm not sure how much pass catching he does. I'm sure he'll tell you. I'm game, coach. I am. But I think that he is a guy that probably works more as the attached tight end. Slot receiver.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Kevin Coleman, transfer from Louisville. 4-star receiver out of high school. Feel good about him. Creed Whittemore running second. And then I'm trying to read here. Cade Kolka. Is that right? Walk-on running third. Got 2 wide receiver spots, 1 and 2. Jordan Mosley, former transfer from Northwestern. Hasn't done a whole lot here, but he's earned a first-team starting job. Number 2 is Stonka Burnside. And then 3, Sam Frisco McGee. On the opposite side is Trent Hudson, another transfer from New Mexico State. Then freshman Mario Craver, and then third team is Jaden Wally. So immediately everybody says, what about J.J. Harrell? J.J. was a little bit banged up in the spring, and he's going to be great. Okay, I got no worries about J.J., but a lot of people say, hey, well, he didn't make the 2 deep. A lot of people didn't make the 2 deep. That doesn't mean he's not going to play. Like J.J. a lot. Now, let's flip over to the defensive side of the football here. Your Jack linebacker, I thought it would be Brandon Jennings, but the first name listed is Ty Cooper. Jack linebacker is Ty Cooper or Brandon Jennings. In many respects, they're kind of interchangeable. Lebby said today Cooper been a little more consistent. That makes sense. He's got a couple years in the SEC under his belt. Brandon Jennings hasn't played an SEC game yet, or a Division I game against a Southeastern Conference opponent. Played a little bit at Maryland, but here we are. All right, starting defensive tackles, it's Kedrick Bingley-Jones or Trevion Williams. Now, we know that Trevion Williams is a little bit banged up. I was told 2 weeks ago he's expected to play in the opener, and I'll be honest with you. If he's not 100%, I wouldn't play him. I wouldn't. Give him an extra week. We're going to need him next week against Arizona State. It hit me earlier today. I'm getting on a plane to Arizona next week. By myself. A'shaun Shepherd, your third team guy, East Mississippi Community College. More of a pass rushing specialist, but you know, they, probably when we go to Prowler, right? When we go to Prowler package, he'll probably play in the middle there. That's a David Turner staple. The other defensive tackle, Calvin Dinkins or Suleiman Paka. If Dink is healthy, he's good to go. If not, you go with Paka. Eric Taylor behind him, and then Kyle McClendon, the freshman. A lot of people have mentioned Kyle McClendon extensively, and mainly the offensive lineman. They're kind of surprised at him. And he was a late bloomer. He was a guy that played offensive line throughout his career. They had a coaching change at Gulfport. They flip him over to the defensive line. Next thing you know, he's an SEC guy. Defensive end, Demonte Russell running first team. Deontay Anderson second, or Joseph Head Jr. All three of those guys are going to need to get snaps this year, and all three of them are going to have to produce. And there's a lot out there, you know, about Demonte Russell. A lot of stuff out there. But here he is running first team. And maybe that says a little bit about a lot. But we'll see. Mike linebacker Stone Blanton, transfer from South Carolina. No surprise there. J.P. Purvis, it feels like it should be Dr. J.P. Purvis as long as he's been here. But J.P., a guy that's played a lot of snaps for Mississippi State, excited to see what he can do this year. And, again, playing that Mike linebacker spot, this is a guy, too. If you ever need to spy somebody, J.P. is perfect for that. At the dime backer spot, because that's how they do it, it's Jack, Mike, Dime, and Star in a 3-4 alignment. Nick Mitchell or John Lewis. I suspect it'll be John Lewis, but Nick Mitchell's name is mentioned first. Zachary Tillman, second. You remember last year, a lot of people talked about Zachary last year because he may be a guy that needed to play, but they elected to keep the redshirt year on him. That's a guy that I think many of our fans may have forgotten about a little bit. This kid can really play. And so, not a lot of experience with the second team, but I feel good about our first team group of linebackers. Kind of rounding out that group at Star, which is basically a hybrid. You walk him up in the box in running situations, you can drop him back. But basically, you know, it's a guy that's kind of a beefier defensive back, a safety guy that's a little fleet of foot, but also got enough juice to play the run. Number one guy is Brylon Lanier. And then the second team is, I'm trying to make that out there. Getting old, kids. It's Johnson and Albert. And Jacoby Albert, of course, tore his ACL last year. They'll be careful with him. I feel like we've talked about him in every media opportunity. Free safety, Isaac Smith, and then Tyler Woodard. That'll be a rotation piece right there. Strong safety, Hunter Washington, been here a long time. Chris Keys Jr., a former transfer from Indiana, and then Jordan Morant from Michigan. Jordan has kind of been a special teams guy. Last year, I remember some people were telling me he's going to start. He hadn't yet. All right, cornerback, Kelly Jones, you know about him. We've talked about him extensively. And so on one spot, it's Kelly Jones or Travion Wright. We need both those guys to play well. We do. And right behind them is Radar and then Kamari. Of course, those were two guys, a big part of our portal class 2 years ago. You've got numbers here. But when you look at the athleticism that Kelly Jones has, as long as Kelly Jones doesn't get beat by an experience, I think he's going to hang on to this. It's interesting, too. Some people kind of make this stuff personal. It's interesting. But Kelly Jones, no matter who found him or discovered him or covered him first, the kid can play. This is an NFL player. Opposite them is Bryce Pollock and Diego Brumfield. And so you can see a lot of transfers up and down. You're too deep. And that's why you went and got them. You didn't go get them to watch. You got them to play. All right, field goal kicker is Kyle Ferry. And my sources have shared throughout camp that Kyle Ferry has had a really good camp. And it's no surprise that he's won there. And then there's Nick Barmira. And then, you know, Hawk there. But, yeah, it's going to be Kyle Ferry. And then punter right now is Nick Barmira. And then Hawk, of course, will be the kickoff specialist. And then punt returner is Kevin Coleman. And Creed Whittemore, kick returner, Booth, Johnny Daniels, or Kevin Coleman. So, you know, we'll see. And then long snapper, of course, is Hayes Hammond. Really think a lot of the Hammond family. He wasn't listed on the depth chart, but he's the guy. So that's your depth chart. And not a lot of real surprises except for the fact that Kelly Akari, the guy that we're expected to be wide receiver one, not listed. A little bit banged up. Not going to play. Corey Ellington, a guy that we expected to be a starter in one of the safety positions, not going to play this week. And I think that one may be a couple of weeks, maybe a little bit longer. We'll see. But everybody else appears to be ready to go. Now, some guys, of course, have been in non-contact yellow the last couple times that we've seen them. And I think it's safe to say there's going to be some guys you're very careful with, including Trevion Williams and probably Calvin Dinkins. You gain nothing by getting these guys hurt against Eastern Kentucky. Now, everybody's eager to play. They want to get out there and play. But you got to think about managing the roster for the totality of the season. Jeff Lebby's no idiot. There's no way we're going to have Trevion Williams in there. When this game gets away, and hopefully it will, and listen, you look at those Eastern Kentucky games, wrote about those over the weekend, they've been fairly competitive. And so the sooner we can get separation, the better off we're going to be. That's an important aspect of all this. It's just find a way to get some separation, get some guys out, get them off their feet, let some young guys get some reps, and go get ready for Arizona State. I'd love to be able to win this game 30-40 points. Would love it. Be amazing. I don't want this thing to go to the fourth quarter and it be in doubt. We have to continue to play, guys. All due respect to Eastern Kentucky, and I'm sure they're going to treat this like their Super Bowl. All due respect to them. Mississippi State needs to put them away early in the second half. And I don't just mean thinking about the weekend. I mean thinking about next week. Thinking about kind of spreading the damage around a little bit instead of just leaving those starters in to take a lot of wear and tear. You know, if we can get some guys in rotation and give them the opportunity to stay fresher, I think that bodes well for next week. It's a big thing for us, for sure. But I'm excited. I know you guys are as well. And we'll get back together on Wednesday, and we'll spend some time kind of going through what we've learned about Eastern Kentucky on Wednesday. And, of course, on Friday, well, I guess maybe we need to do it on Wednesday. We have two Thursday games. So we'll pick the league on – we'll pick those two games on Thursday and Wednesday show, and we'll preview the rest of the league on Friday. And so that's important to understand. Just a little programming note for you there. And, you know, next week, of course, I'll be flying out on Friday to Phoenix to go cover the Arizona State game. So we'll probably record your Friday show on Thursday night, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But no real surprises today on the depth chart other than the fact that, again, three names missing that we expected to be two deepers and contributors. And, of course, we've known that Ellington's been a little bit banged up here as of late. Akari, not so much. And then, you know, the Jeffrey Pittman situation. Again, more information on that later in the show. That's a surprise and a disappointment. But hopefully, you know, maybe it works out. You know, we'll have to wait and see how things go. But that's your depth chart going into Eastern Kentucky. Again, not a lot of surprises. It's the usual suspects, many of the guys that we've been covering throughout the process. But, you know, I like seeing veteran guys, old wins. But you've got to get these guys to kind of have some esprit de corps and kind of meld them into a unit. And sometimes with first-year players, it's kind of difficult. We always talk about, well, it's playing assignment football. That's true, but you've got to earn trust of the man next to you. You got to learn how each other plays. There's some things that maybe perhaps the guy lined up next to you maybe he's not quite as good at, and you can help. It takes some time to kind of learn each other. It's not just about learning a playbook. It's about learning to play together. And that's kind of where we are now. But game week is here. Thank goodness. I made a remark to David Murray as we're walking into the media today. I said, man, it feels like forever since we have played a college football game. He said, Steve, it's because we have. you know, we have been accustomed to having a bowl game every year. Well, that takes another month out of the year, right? All these bowl practices, you play a bowl game around New Year's, and the next thing you know, you're in baseball season, you know. And so that's one of those things, too. I think it's – and maybe this is something we hadn't talked about enough. We talk about the fragile psyche of the Bulldog fan, right? When things are going great, you know, we go to Omaha, you know, with three times and three tries – you know, you go 18, 19, and 21. They didn't have a College World Series in 20, obviously. But we went 3 years in a row, and every one of those trips saw us go to Omaha. You know, so that kind of eats up June, right? All of your May stuff and your June. And the next thing you know, you get done with summer vacation. Man, the kids are back in school. Then you get into football season. Oh, then you got a bowl. We got a bowl game. We got practice reports we got to keep up with. You're engaged, right? And as soon as bowl season's over, about 6 weeks later, we're playing baseball. And I think that's one of the reasons that maybe people have been a little bit angsty. Right? We didn't go to a bowl game last year. And then with baseball, of course, we probably missed a golden opportunity to get to Omaha. But we played in the regional, so that helped a little bit. But it's like we invest so much emotionally into this thing. It's so great, and I remember after we won the College World Series in 2021, I remember some friends of mine joking with some of their Ole Miss acquaintances and said, man, we just don't ever get a break at Mississippi State because we're always playing for something. I'm ready to get back to that, right? I want the elongated athletic year. I don't like these deals. Whoa, we're done at Thanksgiving? Oh, we'll see you in August? No. I don't like that at all, and you don't either. So, and I agree with Jeff Lebby, and we're going to talk about some of those things Jeff said later in the show. But Jeff's like, yeah, we're going to this thing. Our plan's to be in a bowl game. You're dadgum right, Jeff. We need it. The program needs it. I think this fan base just needs – you really need something to be excited about. And I think there's a lot of people kind of on the fence. It's like, well, I don't know what to expect. You know, we had a losing season last year, 5-7, and it wasn't great football for the most part. And I got a brand new coach, and he's never been a head coach before. And yeah, and some people think, he was at Ole Miss. He had lunch with Lane Kiffin, you know, that sort of stuff. This fan base needs something to feel good about. And there are a lot of people, even people like myself, I think that I'm a little more of an optimist than most, but I try to fashion myself in reality. And I don't need Mississippi State to lose in order to be right or to feel good about myself. But when even people like myself that are traditionally more optimistic say, I think it's probably a 6-6 year, I think people listen to that. Like, well, these guys go to practice. And if you look at Brian Haddad, my friend, if you look at his little media listing, pretty much everybody's right there at 6-6. I think somebody picked us 5-7, maybe somebody 7-5. But the consensus opinion is 6-6. And so when it's like when we're going into it and the people that cover the team the closest and then everybody else that covers the team – when everybody else gets a chance to vote and everybody's pretty much in agreement, it's probably going to be a 500 type year, right? It's difficult to get excited. And for many of you, you know, that live and die with the rivalry, it's like, oh, this year's going to be terrible. Ole Miss is going to be great, and we're kind of rebuilding. And so I think it's tempered people's expectations. But here's the thing that I would say. Forget what's going on up there. We don't play Ole Miss until the Friday after Thanksgiving. Let's focus on what's happening at Mississippi State and what we can do to support this team and push them back into a winning season and starting a new streak of bowl games starting this postseason. All right, time for today's top 10 list. It's always brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. Blair is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. If you're looking for a new home, looking for your first home, looking for a game day condo, which may be more affordable than you think, turn to Blair Chandler, my friend. 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. And be sure and tell him that you heard about him on the Boneyard. You might get a little preferential treatment. Yeah, Blair is a professional man, 23 years of experience in the industry. Top 1% close ratio, back to back to back. This guy can get it done. And so rather than keep guesswork and anxiety in your life, especially if you're transferring or maybe you're just starting over again, Let Blair take some of the most important anxiety out of the equation for you. You just fill out your paperwork, you give it to Blair, and let him do the rest. And he'll call you, right, when he needs something or when it's time to close. And maybe you're a first-time home buyer. Maybe you don't know how to go about these things. Rather than just, you know, you're like, I don't even know where to start, Steve. I'm telling you now, you start and you finish with Blair Chandler at closewithblair.com. Be sure and check him out. You'll be glad you did. Okay, so we had a big development last week. We had Motley Crue released a new cover song, which gives us 10 that are on Spotify that we can build a list around. How about that? You just never know, right? It was a big development. As Motley Crue released a single off their upcoming EP called Canceled. They've already released one track called Dogs of War, which I really dig. In the beginning, I wasn't sure. And then I began to listen to it. It grew on me a little bit. I really dig it. I think John 5 is the great addition to the band. And listen, I get it. You know, listen, the Mick years were great years. Mick is in failing health, right? And what did he get, $8, $9 million to sit home last year? You know, there's a people in Mick's ear, I think, that are maybe don't have his best interest at heart. But all that I understood, listen, that's the classic Motley sound is with Mick Mars. But Mick cannot maintain the demands of touring. Mick's getting an old guy, man. He's had a lot of health problems. The show must go on. I know some people don't like it. That's fine. You don't have to listen to it, right? There's a lot of bands out there that I don't listen to either. I don't like them, so I don't listen to them. I will tell you one interesting thing of note. You know, I did the Courtney Love list, you know, the whole list here last week. Had a couple people reach out and say, hey, Steve, I know you're not a big Nirvana fan. That's an understatement. But you owe it to yourself to watch the Soaked in Bleach documentary. And I did. I watched it over the weekend. And I have consumed more Nirvana Kurt Cobain information in the past 48 hours probably than I have my entire life. And, of course, one of the things I loved about the documentary is I got to hear the actual audio recordings, like the phone conversations between the PI and Courtney Love and the lawyers and people like that. I enjoyed that aspect of it. Now, some of this stuff, like the dots don't connect with a lot of this stuff. You know, and me being from a journalistic background, you know, I give me the smoking gun, right? Don't just give me the smoke. And that's kind of where a lot of this goes. And a lot of people have watched that and they accept it all as fact. And it's like Courtney Love killed him. But Courtney Love was in Beverly Hills at the time for days. And one of the questions that I had, I mentioned it to you guys too, because again, I'm very sympathetic to Kurt Cobain. I didn't like the band at all, as well documented on the show. But not only was Kurt Cobain an addict and a guy that struggled with depression, things like that, Kurt Cobain's a human being, right? And despite his notoriety and fame and things like that, at the end of it all, he had a life to live just like the rest of us. And so I'm sympathetic to that. And the more that I've learned, the more I realize, too, that he really was a victim much of his teenage years. And a lot of that angsty stuff kind of came out in his music, which is what I think people identified with. But the thing that I would tell you is, you know, I've got access to some archives, you know, it's kind of a trick of the trade. And basically anything out there, at some point we can get our hands on it. And there's some things they don't tell you about. You know, like there are things in this documentary they don't tell you about. Like Kurt Cobain had problems with women. You're like, what? No, it's true. There was an allegation in his late teens, or I guess he was still in high school. It was a problem he had there, and the girl's dad wanted to file charges. And there were some other things, too, that are pretty disgusting. And then he was arrested another time for domestic violence on Courtney Love. And there was so much of this that maybe made the papers, but it's kind of been whitewashed away. And I think there are some members, gatekeepers of Nirvana, right? And I'm that way about some of my favorite bands too. It's like, you almost take it personally. But I watched through this stuff, and it makes him a very sympathetic character, no matter what you think about his music. I mean, this is a guy that was on the roller coaster and desperately wanted to get off. And that's a sad thing to me. It's like the guy had achieved fortune and fame. In many respects, kind of reminds me of Janie Lane a little bit. You know my conversations I had with Janie. Of course, I never met Kurt Cobain, but Janie was another guy too. But of course, his career, you know, was kind of descending as Kurt's was ascending. But there are a lot of people too. It's like, be careful what you wish for, right? And you can tell even in the suicide note that he was just so tired of all the people kind of pulling on him. And there were so many people dependent on him, and he wanted to get out. And sadly, he felt that the only alternative was to kill himself. And that some people, I think, have a difficult time accepting that. They think there's no way he would have done that, except for the fact that he had attempted suicide multiple times before. In addition to that, too, I mean, you begin to think about, you've got a guy that is a victim of childhood abuse, and a guy that was very much disenfranchised, a guy that spent a lot of time sleeping on his high school principal's couch when he was in high school because he felt torn between the families and, you know, was really, really, really at arm's length with the world in many respects. And by his own admission, he was a drug addict. And so it's not a big leap, you know, to think, hey, well, oh, he killed himself. It's not like it came out of nowhere, you know. And so I just think there are some people that have painted him up to be something that he's not, and they just can't believe that somehow he left them, which is pretty narcissistic thinking. But nevertheless, I appreciate the rec. And I say that with you, too, because people that sent it to me, I'm sure they're thinking, there's no way Steve's going to watch it. I did watch it, and I've read about 4 years of interviews of Kurt Cobain in the last 24 hours. It's all that stuff's archived and all these interviews. One of the things that I wanted to illustrate to you guys today before we get to our list, and I'll go through this quickly, this list. This whole happy, joy sentiment that so many people have about Seattle. They think, oh, it was just some big happy family. It absolutely was not. And we knew it back then. Those of us that lived through it, even, you know how I am in the music. You can imagine how I was back then, you know. I didn't have to work as hard. I'm in college and that kind of stuff. I got plenty of time to read all these magazines. And we had MTV, watched 24 hours a day. We didn't have the internet, but it's amazing. We didn't have the internet back then, but we knew more than people did today about what happened. And I found multiple interviews where he takes shots at everybody in Seattle. Calls Alice in Chains and Pearl Jam corporate sellouts. Hey, I'll even read you a quote. How about that? How about that? And again, you can like Nirvana. It doesn't matter to me. You can like them. And so the interviewer says, what are your feelings on the whole Pearl Jam and Soundgarden thing? And he had made some earlier comments, even though they were label mates with Sub Pop at one time. He had made some negative comments about Soundgarden because they had signed with A&M. And I guess it was really more about, hey, I thought we'd all just stay with Sub Pop and be the starving artist. Nevertheless, and then the interviewer says, I hate to put Soundgarden in that class because when their first EP came out, Ultra Mega OK, I thought they were like Robert Plant fronting the Butthole Surfers. I thought they were amazing. Kurt Cobain, they used to be great. They were even better in like 85 when Chris Cornell had a Flock of Seagulls haircut. They were just like the Butthole Surfers. They were amazing. They used to be great, he says. Interviewer goes back, now they're totally into this metal thing. They're touring with Guns N' Roses. That's a tour you guys turned down. And it depends on who you talk to. That never happened. There were some high-level executives in music that said, hey, here's some opportunities. And if you go back, so when Soundgarden was first played on Headbangers Ball, it was at the request of Axl Rose. So there we go. So Kurt says, yeah, we turned down Guns N' Roses. That would be a big waste of time. I can't comment on Soundgarden because I know them personally and I really like them a lot. They were also label mates. But I have strong feelings towards Pearl Jam and Alice in Chains and bands like that. They're obviously just corporate puppets that are trying to jump on the alternative bandwagon, and we are being lumped into that category. Those bands have been in the Hairspray cock rock scene for years, and all of a sudden they stop washing their hair and start wearing flannel shirts. It doesn't make any sense to me. There are bands moving from LA and all over to Seattle and then claim they've lived there all their lives so they can get record deals. It really offends me. I'm offended by that, to be honest with you. Because you know who else isn't from Seattle? Kurt Cobain is not from Seattle. You go, yeah, be some Aberdeen, Washington. Yeah, and when he had a chance to relocate, he went to Olympia. Yeah. And so I shared that just because of the fact, can we stop the fake narrative? You can like Nirvana. You can love Nirvana. You can do what you want to. But let's not act like it was just some happy family, right? That everybody just got along. That's his own words right there. And not to mention, Mother Love Bone was playing in Seattle when Kurt Cobain was still trying to put a band together. All right, so let's get to it. Your top 10 songs covered by Motley Crue. We'll go quickly. Number 10, Red, White, and Crue. It's Motley Crue's rendition of the Rolling Stones' Street Fighting Man. I love the guitar on this. Mick did an amazing job. True to the original, but kind of made it his own. Kind of put some Mick-isms in there. Number 9, from the album Stairway to Heaven, Highway to Hell. And if you can get your hands on this, you should. It's out of print. I have one of the original pressings because I'm cool. But it's rock and roll from that album. And it's Jason Bonham on drums and then Motley Crue and Skid Row doing a jam session at the Moscow Music Peace Festival, and they did rock and roll. Super cool. And the reason it's so low on the list is Sebastian's vocals were better than Vince, excuse me. Number 8, the new one. Motley's been covering Fight for Your Right to Party from the Beastie Boys the last year and a half. They record it, and again, it's the second song from the upcoming canceled EP that'll be out sometime in October. There's also talk of maybe another cover that may be on there. I think it's cool, but it's not. It would be more fun live than it would be in a studio, right? Everybody covers Fight for Your Right. Maybe I should cover Fight for Your Right. Now, number 7, this is a song that most of you probably didn't know was a cover from a band that you thought may have been like a one-hit wonder. In many respects, they were. From the new Tattoo album, it's White Punks on Dope, recorded by the Tubes. Say, Steve, who are the Tubes? It's some obscure punk band. No, they had the big hit with She's a Beauty. She's One in a Million Girls. It was a huge radio rock song. It's another song, White Punks on Dope from the Tubes, number 7. Number 6, from the Dirt soundtrack, probably one of the most unlikely pairings in the history of rock and roll. It's Motley Crue covering Madonna's Like a Virgin. Touch for the very first time. We're going to change gears here. Number 5, off the Decade of Decadence album, it's the live version of Anarchy in the UK from the Sex Pistols. I wore my Sex Pistols shirt to media today. Number 4, another one. I love this one. This is also on the Make-A-Wish Foundation Stairway to Heaven, Highway to Hell album. Every artist was asked to cover a song by a band or artist that had been impacted by addiction, which usually means death. And Motley elected to go with Teaser by Tommy Bolin. Now, Tommy was in the James Gang, a couple other bands out there, but he was a guy too, and I've read some interviews about this. Like, he was interviewed like the night that he died, and like the interviewer was like, hey, Tommy, you take care of yourself. And he's like, man, I've been taking care of myself my whole life. You don't worry about me. I'll be here for years to come. And he died that night of a heroin overdose. Crazy stuff. And so Motley records Teaser. Great track. It's also available on the Supersonic and Demonic Relics compilation CD from Motley Crue. All right, number 3, back to Shout Out the Devil, the first cover song they ever did. It's Helter Skelter from the Beatles. I love this version of it. I like it better than the original. It's got a little more of an edge to it. Number 2, off the Girls, Girls, Girls album. It's the live version, and I think Mick is incredible on this. The live version of Jailhouse Rock. And, of course, they kind of speed it up a little bit to kind of make it a little more Motley. But I can hear it in my mind. One recorded live right here tonight. And next thing you know, it's Jailhouse Rock. And the video for that is incredible, too. Lots and lots and lots of energy. Now, number 1, a lot of people thought this was an original Motley Crue song when it came out back in 1985. It's the lead single on a Theater of Pain album, which is a much better album than some people suggest. Vince Neil doesn't like it. He said it's one of his least favorite albums. Vince, I'm going to offer you Generation Swine. When Motley tried to be a punk band. And it was so incredibly disjointed because like John Corabi wrote some of the songs and then Vince sang them and they weren't written for Vince's voice. Generation Swine is the worst Motley Crue album, without question. And some people would want to fight me on that, but it is. Yeah, Afraid is good. A couple things in there, but Generation Swine, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. But I tell you what, it worked back in 85. when Smokin' in the Boys Room hit MTV. The video is incredible. The band is incredible. Mick is incredible. Vince, really, I think, was probably nearing his peak as a vocalist. I don't think he really hit it until we got to Dr. Feelgood. And then, you know, he got fired from Motley. And he had two solo albums that Steve Stevens and Billy Idol played guitar on at least the first one. Like the track, you know, "You're Invited But Your Friend Can't Come." You know, I've used that line before. But nevertheless, like Vince's Exposed album is great. It really is. But when everybody kind of came back together, you know, Tommy, of course, is still Tommy. And you know, Mick's getting old and, you know, Nicky's branching out, doing different things. Of course, he did Brides of Destruction. Of course, 6 a.m., you know, and despite what some people in the Facebook groups will tell you, Nicky Six is extremely well-versed and can play multiple instruments. But the reality of it is these guys are nearing the end of their career, and we thought they were. And I was really sad when they announced they were signing a contract, a secession from touring. And after the success of The Dirt, they're back and they're playing arenas all over the world. And I think it's a great thing. I do. I love Motley. And here's the thing, too. No, they're not what they used to be. And nobody is. But I'm glad that they're still alive and still having a chance to get out there and go play these songs. And that was the thing when I saw Vince at Rocklahoma a few years ago. It was one of the things that I told him is, even though Motley wasn't doing anything right now, I'm glad that he is out there singing the songs that we all grew up with. So there you go. You guys like Motley. You like cover songs. So we're combining two things that you like. The top 10 songs covered by Motley Crue. And so there you go. Thanks for your support of the top 10 list. If you have ideas, and I've got a string of them right now, but you may have a better one, and you can hit me up, and you never know. I'll give you credit, too, if you like it. But thanks so much for your support of the top 10 list. Please follow Roy on Spotify and on Twitter at Dogmatic67, DAWGMATIC67. And I'm on all forms of social media at Scout Steve R. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Campus Bookmart, man, I love them. They love me. We all love each other. And we love you, too. And you'll love shopping at Campus Bookmart if you don't already. There's no better place to shop for Mississippi State merchandise. A lot of people make that claim, but it's just a marketing deal. It really is. A lot of people out there say, hey, we got the best selection of Mississippi State merchandise, and it's like someplace in, you know, like Possum Neck, Mississippi. It's true. I mean, you can go see for yourself. Test me on this. Next time you come to Starkville, go by Campus Bookmart, and you'll see the wide selection they have of Mississippi State merchandise, whether it be clothing, gift ideas, things for the home, the office, the RV, the pet, whatever. Miss Kathy Brown can get it for you. And if you can't make it to town, I know you want to support a Starkville business. We want to keep Starkville great. So maybe Starkville is a tough place for you to get to. You can still spend some money here and help Starkville, Mississippi, and help a Mississippi State business by shopping online at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. That's BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. So maybe get here a little bit early to Saturday. Maybe you're coming to town on Friday. Swing by Campus Bookmart. Pick up some new threads. You'll be glad you did. All right, let's talk a little bit about the tight end room before we get to some of Levy's comments. We'll talk more about the Jeffrey Pittman situation. Guys, I like this room. Now, we've had an opportunity to see a few periods of practice a few times. And I've made it out there all but one time, I guess. And but it's just been a handful. I mean, it hadn't been one of these deals where, you know, like when Leach was here, we got to go to all, you know, we could just show up at, you know, 30 minutes early and stay in all the way through and watch. But, you know, again, Coach Lebby's kind of putting his stamp on things. I'm not being critical of that. I wish we could see more practice, but I get it. I understand. We're going to get a chance to see the team in action on Saturday. Yeah, and that matters more than going to see him practice. But when we've had the opportunity to kind of watch some offensive drills, there hadn't been a ton of team stuff, but, you know, like some goal line type stuff, some red zone stuff, the tight end group really, really looks good. And one of the reasons it does is because we have true tight ends playing the position. You talked about it earlier. And listen, I appreciate all of those guys last year that changed positions and changed their bodies in an effort to help Mississippi State football. But they weren't true tight ends. And that's the thing. I mean, you look at those great tight ends over the years, they were game changers. You know, these guys were just, you know, maybe wide receivers that outgrew the position, played with a different brand of physicality. That's kind of what you got now. And so let's start with Seydou Traore. Now, I've talked to a couple of the scouts that have been out there. Every time that we go out there, there's a handful of NFL scouts there. Area scouts kind of doing their job. And I talked to a couple of them just kind of sitting there one day when they were doing red zone. And both of them agree that Seydou Traore is a pro. Not sure where. Not sure how early he's taken in the draft. He's a redshirt junior, so he's actually draft eligible this year if he chooses to come out. But 6'4", 235 pounds, and he is kind of this new generation tight end. On the next level, probably needs to gain about 10, 15 pounds, be a little more physical at the point of attack. But this guy's a walking mismatch, man. It's ridiculous to watch him out there. I mean, you've seen the video. Like, you probably saw the clip of number 18 hurdling a defensive back. That's him. That's your tight end. Probably your first team tight end. I think you should be excited about him. Great catch radius. Can run well after the catch. We said last year, you know, watching practice and talking to coaches, man, we wish we had him eligible this year, you know, back in 2023. But he wasn't, because he was a two-time transfer. So he'd already used his one-time transfer exception, so he had to sit the year. So it's been a long-awaited deal, but he's been in our program, even though we've changed philosophies. But he's been here for 2 years. So he's had a chance to practice against Southeastern Conference athletes. Comes to us by way of Colorado. But a big-time player, for sure. A native of London, England. Pretty impressive guy. Was at Arkansas State initially. And now he's here. He's a real weapon for us. Now, the number two guy, and he actually might be a better red zone weapon, is Cameron Ball, that comes in from Buffalo, 6'6", 250. Maybe not as strong as his brother, but size-wise, they're about the same. But I think Cam Ball's going to be a dude. You know, he and his brother are both from Glendale, Maryland, and we knew, you know, once Justin committed, Cam was shortly there behind him. A chance for the guys to play together. But watching Justin Ball kind of move without the football, he doesn't have that lumbering stride that a lot of tight ends do. You know, it just seems like it's all they can do to get to the spot. He's a very fluid route runner for a guy that size. An unbelievable catch radius. You talk about walking mismatches. In the red zone, just throw it up and he can go get it. Because he can elevate a little bit too. He doesn't have to a whole lot. But he's not going to have anybody out there in the pass pattern defending him with the same height and weight. It's just not going to happen. Guys his size and length typically play defensive end. And so when he gets paired up with a linebacker, he's going to have a 4 to 5 inch height advantage in addition to about a 4 to 5 inch catch radius. So it's a significant difference when he gets out there. So I suspect people are going to try to be very physical with him in the first 5 yards and trying to prevent him from kind of getting out of the pass pattern. But look for him to be a big part of things. Very, very excited about him. Kind of mentioned Nick Lauderdale earlier too. Nick was a walk-on. He's a senior out of Central Hines Academy by way of Hines Community College. And at 6'3", 225, he doesn't have the same physical skills that the Ball brothers and Seydou does, but he is a better blocker. And again, I like him as an attached tight end. A younger guy, Ja'Cory White, saw him last year, played a lot of X receiver, 6'6", 265, but he's a guy that's still kind of learning, you know. Rayfield Lawton's a guy too. 6'6", 240, and he was a walk-on out of Brother Martin. I remember when we got him, everybody kind of freaked out. He came to camp, and we're like, hey, we're probably going to take this kid. He had some smaller college offers, but he had the ability to come to college and got a roster spot here. Really like him a lot. But I like the group. There's a couple of the walk-ons out there, but I think by and large it'll be four or five of those guys. But I think you're going to be excited about what you see and what you hear about these guys. Tight end room, really, really, really good group. Now, when we get back on Wednesday, we're going to do quarterbacks, and then our positional previews will be done. We've done all our opponent previews, so on Wednesday we'll talk quarterbacks. We'll talk about what we've learned about Eastern Kentucky, and then we've got a couple of games we got to pick, and then we'll do a good top 10 list. But now that we're in the season, it's a lot easier to kind of find things to talk about that are of measure, right? Rather than just kind of projecting, this is what I think, and this is what I think you'll see. You'll be able to see for yourself, and I think that's the most important thing. I'm excited about Saturday, not just because of the fact that I'm ready to be back in Davis-Wade Stadium. I think that we're going to see a lot of points scored on Saturday, and I think it's going to really get people fired up. And if we can find a way to go to Arizona State, you're 2-0, come back, play on a Toledo team, it's going to be better than you think. I'm telling you right now, that Toledo team's expected to be very good in their league, and so don't be surprised if they don't come in here and give us a game. I still expect State to win. I believe State's got a really good chance to start out 3-0 with Florida coming to town. And I've said that multiple times on this show, but we're going to need to win all four of these non-conference games to really give ourselves a chance to get to a bowl game this year. But what I'd like to see on Saturday, obviously, is let's just kind of go out there and overwhelm them early. That was the thing last year. Even though we beat Southeastern, 48-7, it was so lackadaisical early on. And then you think, well, you know, it's game one, you know, new offense, and everybody's getting settled. What I would really like to see this year is let's, you know, come out there and really kind of get after it. Like, I mean, just go out there just throwing haymakers in the first quarter, and then by halftime we're all already thinking about, hey, what, you know, what time do we want to get out of here? You know, I mean, I'm going to sit around and watch the young kids play anyway. I'm excited to see so many of these young guys get their first snaps as Bulldogs, but I want to see us go out there and look like we know what we're doing, look like that we have worked hard. I know we have, but really run kind of some base offensive type formations, maybe not give too much away for Arizona State, and then look good doing it. Look like we know what we're doing, look like we're ready for the season. And again, there's always some first game jitters and mistakes and things of that nature. But I want you to be here, and if you hadn't made plans to attend, again, it's a 5 o'clock kick. By the time the sun goes down, probably dip down in the 80s. In the evenings, at night, man, we've gotten as low as the 60s. Looking forward to that. The older I get, the more I enjoy fall. It seemed like it used to last 3 months when we were kids. Now it lasts about 2 weeks. But all that I understood, I'm excited for you guys to be here. You guys bring so much energy to our city and to our town. This is home, okay? You may get your mail somewhere else. You may keep your stuff somewhere else. But Starkville, Mississippi is home. And so come home and help us open up the Coach Jeff Lebby era this Saturday. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Just Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, and their Facebook page will come up. You'll be able to look at that and see all the pictures of all the fine amenities that are available to you when you choose the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. There's no better place to stay in the Golden Triangle for a larger group than that. 5 bedrooms, 2 baths, just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. You can tailgate there. Think about that, the convenience of that. You can get everything out there. If you want to eat on the back porch area, which is great, you can. Get around that fire pit area at night, just kind of chill. You got the wet bar, the full-service kitchen. You can just do it. You can have a feast right there, and then, hey, everybody go to the game, come back, and you can just pick up where you left off. How about that? Yeah, so why? I'm going to turn those off. I'm turning the speakers off. A lot of people are commenting on a post I made on Facebook. But all that I understood, when you Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, there are going to be some booking options that pop up. Airbnb, VRBO, and you can use those if you want. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website. And if you do, I can save you some money. Promo code BSR10, BSR10. Gets you 10% off your stay. Whether you're bringing a work group to town during the week, whether you're bringing a family group or a friend group to town on the weekend. That code applies all the time. And I would suggest too, like, let's say for an example, you're bringing everybody up here, you know, like, hey, we got, everybody's going to tour Mississippi State. You know, maybe you're bringing some recruits, like some academics. You know, maybe you and all your friends are all going on the college trip, right? It's like, hey, we want to go up and just kind of get a feel for the town. Why not everybody just come together and enjoy the experience together at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse? Okay, so we got a couple of college days. Why not just make your home base Starkville? Right? Maybe you want to come see the greatest school in the world, and then there's a school up the road. Just stay here. I mean, you don't want to spend a night up there anyway, right? And so you come here, you spend the night, you go through your tours, you spend the night, get up next morning, make the short drive out there through Eupora or through Batesville, whichever way you want to go, go see them, come back, spend a night in Starkville, around all your groceries and everything else. That's a great idea, Steve. Well, thank you, guys. Thank you very much. I'm just trying to make it work for you. Again, 5 bedrooms, 2 baths. Be sure and check it out today. You'll be glad you did. The Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Okay. All right, first question, the presser, was asked by your good friend and host. That's typically the case. I try to be prepared and ask the questions that you guys want. It's so funny, too, like when everybody's angry, it's like nobody ever gets any real questions, you know. Well, had a chance to peruse a depth chart before Coach Lebby came into the room. I noticed some notable names were missing, so I asked. And he says, hey, Kelly Akari, Corey Ellington have been dinged up through fall camp. They won't be available this week. We'll continue to look at those guys' situations when we get into the season. I'm told neither is out for the year, and if they were out for the year, Lebby would have told us. Okay? Hopefully we get those guys back sooner rather than later. Pitt, that's Jeffrey Pittman, is no longer with us. Right now, I won't get into the details of that internal matter. That's why you don't see those three guys on the depth chart. Okay? Now, here is what I'm told on Pittman. So, Leb says he's no longer with us. I'm told that there may be a scenario where he's back. Right? We mentioned the internal matter, and we're not going to get into speculation. Not going to do that out of respect to everybody. To Jeffrey Pittman, of course. To Jeff Labby. Everybody involved. It's still something they're looking into. And again, I don't have all the details. But I know that there is the possibility that he may be back. We'll see how things go. I'm told that he is still in school. It's not like he's packed up and went home. You know. And so that's important to understand. The initial reports, and again, and this is not blaming anybody. Because Coach says is no longer with us. So he's not currently on the team. Lebby says no longer with us. There's not a lot of room for ambiguity or interpretation there. He's no longer with us, which means he's no longer on the team. But I'm told that that actually may not be the case. There's just some things you got to play out, right? There's just some things that got to happen, right? And so, and I hate to sound all cryptic about that, but we're going to be respectful of things like this. Anytime that a young lady or a young man leaves or is dismissed from a team, we're going to be respectful of them and of their privacy. Because sometimes the first story that gets out typically is not correct. Typically, that's not the case. And a thing that I've learned, and this is from all those years of managing other people, usually the first person to run to the manager's office is usually the one that's guilty, usually. And so they want to kind of lay the groundwork first. I got to get to cut to the boss or coach first because I've got to set the edge on the narrative. I want to go ahead and plant the seeds of my story first. And then a little bit later, you get the rest of the story and you're like, well, okay. And the truth is always somewhere in between. And so, again, I don't know all the details. I know a few details. I don't know enough to write a story about it or certainly comment it on it in depth on the show, but I will tell you that this is not completely over. So we'll see how things go. And that's just kind of part of the deal. Now, I did like what he said about Kevon Lee. And interesting, Dave Murray's writing a story on this right now. Guys, 10 of our 11 starters on offense, transfers. Yeah. Let that sink in for a second. Albert Reese is the only high school signee on your first team offense as we prepare for Eastern Kentucky. Right? Well, I don't like the transfer portal, Steve. Yeah, okay, cool. 10 of your 11 starters on offense are from the transfer portal. And they beat out the guys that were here. Kevon Lee's been here 2 years. And he has consistently been named by Jeff Lebby. And you know, maybe, you know, like last year it's a little bit banged up. And not to mention, how you can't – there is no way you can fairly evaluate any offensive player based on last year's offensive performance. And I'm going to – that's on the coaches. It is. That is on the coaches. And so to say, well, that guy wasn't very good last year. Yeah, you know, a lot of times they're asked to do things they couldn't do. Asked to do things that didn't make a lot of sense. But here's what Lebby had to say about Kevon. He's like, hey, he's number one on the depth chart. We talked about it's an or, him and Booth, or like or, Lee or Booth. But here's what Coach Lebby had to say. He's consistent. What he's done for himself and us as we've gotten to this point has been great consistency. He's played with toughness, an older guy, and a guy we're going to count on. And then he comes back and talks about Booth. Booth, Vaughn, is a guy listed as an or. He's going to play a ton for us and have a great season with Johnny, get a lot of action as well. That's Johnny Daniels. And I didn't mention him much on the show the other day, and a lot. And I take it as a compliment. Hey, Steve, you didn't mention him, so he must not be doing well. I mentioned him. I just didn't expound on him a lot because, to be honest with you, I thought with Pittman here, you know, how many carries is the fourth-team running back going to get? I thought Johnny would be more of a factor next year, okay, to be fair. Well, now all of a sudden, Johnny Daniels got to be a guy. Now, Johnny Daniels runs hard. And you start thinking, okay, is he a half-dozen a game touch guy? Maybe. You know, we'll see. We're much improved from the spring to right now at that position. We discussed that in our evaluation of running backs last week. Lebby, from his own mouth in the spring, said we have got to get better in that room, and it appears we have. We also had a follow-up question about Kelly Akari's injury. Lebby says, I won't get too much into it, but Kelly has had a lot of production, has played a lot of ball and snaps. We got some young guys in camp that have a chance to be good players, but they haven't lived it, haven't done it. Having Trent get here this summer was huge. And, of course, Trent Hudson listed as a first-team receiver. And so I think what you're going to see this week, let's say if we're playing LSU this week, you know, you might try to give it a go with Kelly Akari. And, of course, we don't know the full nature of the injury. But because of the fact that you're playing an FCS team and you got some young guys out there that ordinarily would play, it didn't matter if you play in week one or week 10, typically you play those freshmen in the second half of an FCS game. So this weekend it's like, hey, we get some separation and we can let Stonka and JJ and Mario Craver and those guys get a ton of reps, get them some confidence, get them some tape, get you guys excited about this team, right? Because even if it's for the future. And so, yeah, because you have depth at the position, and what do we have, 12 scholarship receivers, right? There's no way you put Kelly out there in an FCS game if he's less than, say, 90%. You just don't do it. There's just no need for it. You're going to be able to win this game without him. But, yeah, we'll see, you know. All right, and we talked a little bit about earlier about offensive line, and you're going to think I'm piling on here, and maybe I am. I don't know. Yeah, again, you know, my sources are the coaches and the players, but apparently some other people have better sources. But anyway, specifically, Lebby was asked, which group or side of the ball made the most improvement during camp? It's a good question. Lebby says, where we are up front on the offensive line from where we were January 15th is two completely different worlds. It's a credit to the guys in the room and Cody, that's Coach Kennedy, leading that group. I'm excited for us to go out and play winning football up front. That's how this league is built. We understand that. So in every Jeff Lebby preseason, game week, press conference, has mentioned the offensive line as a position of strength. I'm going to accept the coach's word for it. That's just me. I'm going to accept that Jeff Lebby knows what he's talking about because he coaches these guys every day. Kind of putting a exclamation point on our little segment about the tight ends. How big have the Ball Brothers been in revamping the tight end room? Well, it's been huge for us, said Jeff Lebby. For us, the tight end position will forever be a huge piece of what we do, from a production standpoint, but also a scheme standpoint to create mismatches in different pictures. Say-Doo has done an incredible job. Justin Ball had a great camp. He's going to play a ton of football for us. He's a big physical dude that likes to play ball, who has played a lot. We're going to lean on guys who have played a lot. Cam is as improved as anyone inside our locker room. That's Cam Ball, the sophomore from Buffalo. He's going to got to continue to strain and be physical. He has a chance to have a really big future here. And so that's an exciting part of it. Now, last thing we'll go over here with him. I asked specifically, in running back room, we mentioned Xavier Gayton last week. Levy did mention expect to see him this weekend. But, you know, one of the things that I asked him, you know, is like, hey, you know, how do you kind of manage all this? You know, how do you manage, you know, getting playing time for everybody, but also kind of finding some cohesion, right? I mean, it's like, you know, you need to get reps with your first team offense together. You know, you got to get that handled. You also got to think about, you know, you don't want to get somebody dinged up in this game, considering Arizona State maybe the most important game on the schedule. But here's what Levy had to say. Our guys understand that this is the biggest game of the year because it's the next game. How we prepare never needs to change. When we get ready to play, that has to be advantage us. What we do from Monday to Friday has to be advantage us. The amount of time in the building, how we practice, the reps during the week, stressing that is huge. Hopefully we put it on TV Saturday night the way we think we can. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I walked out of this press conference ready to go run through a brick wall, but I walked out of here satisfied thinking that my head coach has a good idea of what his team is capable of, and they're ready to go out there and demonstrate it on the field for their fans. And I hope that you guys feel the same way. And again, as always, all of the big room stuff is published on Gene's page for free. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. The videos, the transcripts, the articles, anything that is just available to the general media. Whether you're a subscriber to Gene's page or not, and you certainly should be, but if you're not, you can still come. You're one-stop shop for Mississippi State coverage. We're going to have it up for anybody else. Matter of fact, we had the story up about Jeffrey Pittman before the press conference was over. Strength in numbers, right? So even if you're not a subscriber, go to jeanspage.com, bookmark that, so when you need news or need reaction, you need content about Mississippi State, you want to go watch those videos and see what your coaches and players had to say. They're available to you for free at jeanspage.com, the Mississippi State affiliate for 247 Sports. Did you guys enjoy watching a little college football this weekend? We had the four games, but man, they all turned out to be great games. And let's start with game number one. Tough weekend for a lot of the gamblers, I'll tell you that. I mean, if you expected to chalk the holes, you took a bath this weekend. But what can you say about the great job that Georgia Tech did against Florida State? Now, I know that, listen, by and large, SEC fans are ACC haters and back and forth, right? They don't like us. We don't like them. We look down upon them, and the records kind of show that we are the superior conference. But Florida State expected to be, a challenger in a playoff this year from the ACC. And I saw some people over the weekend saying, you know what, hey, this may be a one-bid league when it's all said and done. But Georgia Tech basically did whatever they wanted to do offensively. At no point did I think Florida State was going to win that game. We talk about football as a game that's played in the trenches. I thought the Georgia Tech offensive line just beat up Florida State. There were so many people that thought that defensive line was just going to roll through them. But they didn't. And even when Florida State tied the game, let's be honest about it. Didn't you expect Georgia Tech to go right down and score? And it wasn't like it was some fluke thing where there was like a busted coverage. They just kind of methodically went down the field and then kicked a field goal to win the game. Incredible, man. And how cool is it the very first game of NCAA football that we see is a top 10 upset. It's going to be a wild year, kids. I can't wait. I can't wait. And I look forward to every game. And then, of course, the second game of the day, we thought we were going to have a wind delay. And I don't know if you saw the replays, but the wind in Albuquerque, New Mexico, knocked the camera off its riggings and into the crowd. Insanity out there. And Montana State of the FCS claims another victory over an FBS team. They go to Albuquerque and beat the Lobos 35-31. 21 points in the fourth quarter. You talk about finishing a game. And that's really always been the challenge for the FCS team, right? Is do they have the depth to play 60 minutes with a team that's got more scholarship players, more facilities? And Montana State dominated that fourth quarter. I mean, it's 31-14 going to the fourth. And you're thinking, New Mexico's going to take this. Not going to be a problem at all. But instead, Montana State comes from behind, wins the ball game. Wild finish. Crazy. Crazy. If you can find the highlights of that game, I encourage you to watch them. I mentioned to you guys that I thought the SMU-Nevada game may be a little bit wild. It was. SMU wins. They don't cover, but they do win 29-24 in a 16-point fourth quarter for them. Again, Nevada's at home, and you got a double-digit lead. And you think, okay, let's just kind of manage this thing and salt this quarter away, and then you get shut out 16-0. You're up 24-13 going to the fourth quarter, and then you lose at home. And again, in SMU, again, late in that ball game, they just kind of found it. Hawaii beats Delaware State 35-14, and again, another strong fourth quarter, right? 14 points. 21-14 game after three, and Hawaii 14. So, again, the key to winning here is to win the fourth quarter, right, kids? All four of the winners on Saturday won the fourth quarter, and the losing teams combined for 7 points, and that was Florida State, and it took them converting 2 fourth downs to do that. And, you know, when they were doing that, when DJ and those guys are driving down, I'm thinking, you can't get this ball back at Georgia Tech. You know, 7-8 minutes left, they could just eat the clock up and then punt. Even if they don't score, they pin you back deep and make you drive the length of the field in the final couple minutes. So a great first weekend. And again, a lot of football games on Thursday. We'll take a look at some of that on Wednesday's show. But, yeah, great start. Great start. And it's one of those things, too, you start working through this and you look at the totality of the season. Where are we going to end up? Are we going to get to a bowl game? Are we going to win the golden egg back? Let me encourage you, kids. Enjoy the journey. You never know when it's your last football season. You don't know. Life is short, death is certain, and you never know. You know, it's like I say, life happens when you're busy making other plans. You know, it's one of the things that long-term recovery has taught me is to appreciate every day. Now, some days appreciating every day is working all day, sitting down, digging through content. Some days it's covering a ball game. Some days it's doing, you know, some work around the yard or whatever. But I understand that every day is a gift, and that has become a cliche. And sometimes we hear it so much we don't fully appreciate that. But every day is a gift. And I remember when my dad was very ill towards the end. And every day truly was a gift, especially the days that he felt okay. Every day. I went and spent some time with him at the duration and stayed with him until he passed away. And we watched Mississippi State and Florida play together. I'd been at the hospital all week, and I had some friends there in the Brandon and Madison area. It's like, hey, let's go to the ball game. Let's get you out of the hospital. And I was like, man, I don't want to be in Stargell. And all of a sudden, my dad passed away. And even a friend of mine said, well, you know, Steve, I know you want to be there, but if you can't be with him, wouldn't he want you to be at Mississippi State? And I'm like, well, guys, I would ruin everybody else's time. I need to be with my dad. And so I sat down and I watched Mississippi State lose to Florida. And what was it, 19 years ago now? Yeah, 2005. It's crazy. Time flies. And I remember as the game was over, even though we lost, my dad didn't say a whole lot that last weekend. But after Mississippi State lost the ball game, My dad said, I'm ready to go. Just me and him sitting there. And he said, I'm ready to go. And I thought then, win or lose, how cool was it that he and I got to watch one more game together? For sure. And many of you have gone through that too. And a few people, you know, in the Facebook friends community, I mean, I don't know how well you know your Facebook friends, but I remember, and I won't mention a name, I remember shortly after we won the World Series, there was a guy that was pretty prominent in the Mississippi State Facebook groups, and unbeknownst to most of us, he'd been really sick. And he told us that after we won, 2 or 3 days after, he goes, guys, my time on earth is growing short. And unbeknownst to us, he'd been battling cancer for a while and hadn't made that public. And he goes, I only got a few days left, what they tell me, maybe 2 weeks. He goes, but I'm so grateful I got to live long enough to see Mississippi State win a national championship. And so I don't want to end the show on a down note. That's not what I'm trying to do. I just want to impress upon you that we're not always going to have the ability to pack the car with the kids or with our friends or our dads or our moms, or our brothers, our grandpa. That opportunity is not always going to be available to us. And I don't want to get to the end of this thing and look back and say, you know what, I wish I would have done that. I really wish that I had the one more game, you know, with Grandpa. Or I wish before my kids left and went off to college that I would have bought those season tickets and spent one more year making some more memories. Because I can tell you as an empty nester, you don't see them that often. And I'm doing great. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know some people, it's like, well, I joke about this with friends of mine, you know, that they talk about how busy Dane and I are, which may be a good thing, right? Guy that I'm really close to, he told me, he said once he and his wife became empty nesters, they kind of realized they didn't like each other anymore and ended up getting a divorce. And that's not the case here. You know, we're doing great. And again, I think it's because we both still work very hard. But I do miss Ian being around. And it's like sometimes I think, hey, it wasn't too many years ago, you know, that we moved here to this house. It was 10 years ago, next month. We moved here 10 years ago. And we moved in, and, you know, of course, Ian, you know, was going to school, and I had the girls couldn't even drive yet. And then it hits me some days. You know, it's like, it does. It kind of gets to you, and you think, you know, I remember when this house used to be filled with noise. It's quiet now. It's usually just me and the dogs until Dana gets home in the evenings. But, you know, we're adjusting. But life comes at you fast. I remember buying Audrey's first car. And all of a sudden, she could bring her siblings to school every morning. I think, what a gift this is. I don't have to get up every day because I like to ride at night. And then there are some days I wish I could bring them to school again. Because it happens really, really quick. And, you know, of course, you know, Audrey's now a computer engineer in Palm Bay, Florida. Recently got a promotion. You know, she's killing it, making a ton of money and doing a great job for a defense contractor. And loving life, living about 2 blocks from the beach. How cool is that? That's what she's always wanted to do. You know, and of course, Mia about to make a law school decision. Got a list of about 20 schools she's considering. And again, we'll get the LSAT score on Wednesday, and I'm sure it's going to get her in anywhere she wants to go in the country. But I expressed upon her on Friday when we had lunch, I said, listen, don't feel obligated to stay close. It's only going to be a couple years of your life. But don't feel obligated to stay here, because one of these days you're going to say, you know what, hey, I wish I would have had the experience of maybe living somewhere else and finding some new favorites and kind of expanding my horizons a little bit. Do all that now while you're gone. And she said, Daddy, I'm so glad that I'm single making this decision. You know, I don't feel obligated to have to stay close or thinking about somebody else's feelings. I can just do what's best for me in my career. And I think that's sage advice. You know, of course, now Ian's a sophomore at Mississippi State. You know, works at Bulldog Burger Company. You can go by and see him, too. You'll be able to identify him pretty quickly. But all that understood, you know, it's like I remember the days, the things that used to sometimes feel like a hassle, right? Sometimes I wish I could do them again, right? Now, I'm a firm believer in embracing every phase of life. Like, I'm not sitting here every day thinking, oh, woe is me. Where did all my kids go? I know exactly where they are. And I'm proud. I never wanted my kids. I own this big house out in the country. I never wanted my kids to all, buy a single wide trailer and park it out in front of my house and let's just have the Robertson commune. I never wanted that, ever. And I remember when we brought Ani to Clarksdale for the first time, when he went up there for his first year, his only year of junior college ball before he went to Williams. And I remember everybody was so sad. We dropped him off and everybody cried except for me. And I remember Ian asked me, he said, Daddy, why aren't you upset? I said, because I'm so happy and proud for him. Because yes, I'm going to miss him. But my emotional feelings about not being able to see him every day was an incredible trade, knowing that he was getting to do something that most young people never get to do, and that's play college baseball. And so, yes, that required a sacrifice for all of us. And that's what life does, right? Everything in life is a trade-off. And so in order for my kids to grow up, I had to raise them. In order for my kids to go out there and excel in the world, I had to teach them values and teach them work ethic. And so I didn't teach them all those life lessons to keep them under my feet. And so I'm happy to be an empty nester. Not because I don't miss my children, but because I think now we're making a greater impact on the world. I think that's an important thing. Now, that understood, some of the best days are when I get those calls when everybody's coming home to go to a Mississippi State game, whether it be a baseball game or a basketball game or football game. It's like, hey, I'm going to come home for this. Hey, we're all coming home for the Egg Bowl. Even if we just watch it together, Daddy, I just want us to be together, right? Even if, hey, it's all of us going up there hanging out with Mom, watching on TV. We want to be together. We want to celebrate this together, right? Especially if we win. We want to be able to get together later and watch it again on DVR as a family. Because they know that I have to go cover games, right? And they're like, hey, Daddy, let's get home and watch the game again. Those are special times. And so the older I get, the more I appreciate that. And so if you have your kids at home, Let me go ahead and make you aware of a stark reality that maybe you're not ready to consider. They're going to leave you at some point. And they're going to do fine. They are. But there's going to be something different in your life. And many people say, you know what, hey, there's this hole that can't be filled. Well, you can fill it with other things, right? I don't know, you can start a business or start a blog or, go join a book club or start playing tennis or pickleball or whatever. There are things that you can do, because before you were mom and dad, you were just you and you, right? You were a couple. Long before there was this, four kids and two grandkids, there was just me and Dana, And I shared that with her recently too, because, there used to be a time when it was just me and you. And I want you to know that I'm still enjoying this phase of it being just me and you. I married her because I like her. Right? You know what I'm saying? It's like, I thought she was dope when I met her and I asked her out for a date. And the first, it wasn't because she was hot. I got along with her. And so I hope that you guys are so evenly blessed in your own respect. But again, life moves at you fast. And a lot of those things that feel like an inconvenience today, see, oh, Steve, it's just so much trouble. There's so much traffic. My anxiety gets all riled up. There's going to come a day that you're going to wish you had that chance to take your kids or your dad or your grandpa, dad to a game, your grandmom. You're going to wish you had that opportunity one more time, and it's not going to be there. So let's not waste the opportunities we have today. And then so, go to dutynoblebook.com, and you can pre-order The Dude. It'll be out here in a few weeks, and hopefully we'll have a release date for you this week. In addition to that, all of my sports titles are there. Villains and alphas are in extremely low quantities. And I feel, because here's what happens. Every time a new book comes out, it carries the rest of the catalog with it, right? People like, and like people will see me on the street and say, hey, Steve, I read your book. I'm like, which one? Oh, you wrote more than one? Yeah. Yeah, I did. And sometimes it's Flim Flam. Other times it's Dogpile. I'm like, yeah, well, I've written seven. And they look at me like I'm crazy. So what happens is when a new book comes out, people are like, hey, I'll go ahead and fill out the rest of the catalog. I'll get the rest of, I didn't get Alpha Dogs, so I'll get it now. So if you need to get Villains and Alpha Dogs for your collection, not just to be a collector, those books are great. You need to do it quickly. You need to do it quickly. You do. And come float with us. And again, this weekend, the first football weekend, some of you out-of-towners have said, you know what, hey, Steve, I've always wanted to experience the joy of floating. You need to make your appointment now. You can download the True Rest app and book online, or you can call and speak to Dana directly at 662-268-7601, and she can answer any questions you may have. And it's been a very, very busy week, very busy weekend. We only have four pods and at a time, you know, and so you know they flow for an hour, and they got to filter in between. There's a lot that goes with all this. But if you're considering floating this weekend and you haven't already booked, you need to do it soon, okay? You need to book soon because of the fact that we do expect to have limited availability by the time you get here. Now, I can't promise you that we'll have availability, but I can't rule it out if you wait until Friday. And so maybe you don't know what time you're going to get off work Friday, but you're thinking about it. And it's like, you know, I just want to try it. Now's your time. And be thinking about your other football weekends too. Again, 662-268-7601. Let's get out of here. Thanks so much for your support. Tomorrow we have Mississippi State player at your last media availability of the week. And we'll get that content up for you on Tuesday. We're not going to squirrel it away and you know, wait till Friday. We got some other stuff. We're ingenious people. We don't just need the university to feed us. We can find other things to write about. And so we'll have all that up for you tomorrow. And, man, next time we get together, man, we'll just be a couple days away from you guys packing the car and coming to Stargo and enjoying a new ball game. How about that? But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies and people can see a difference in the way we live.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.